This is for the appeal for 131 Third Street. What we will do is go around the room and introduce ourselves for the record. Then you'll have 15 minutes to let us know what you think the value is and why. The board may have some questions for you, or you may have some questions for us during that 15-minute time period. Once the 15 minutes is over, the board will recess the session. Then they'll go into a deliberative session and come up with a determination of what the value should be based on the evidence given today. Now the value can go up, stay the same, or go down. Once they've made the determination, the town will send you a result of grievance notice by certified mail. This, by state statute, that notice has to be within 14 days of the close of the hearings. So if we're looking to close the hearings July 13th, it's 14 days after that, so you should receive something before then. The turnaround time is about a week right now to get the letters out, so we're trying to keep up with that and make sure that people get the notices as soon as possible. Okay, and the notice will give instructions on how to appeal the Board of Lister's decision to the Board of Civil Authorities if you disagree with their decision. Okay, so let's get started and go around the room.
Shirley Gardner.
Robert Vickery.
David Barrows.
Lawrence Anderson.
Brenda Bascom. I'm here with him for
support.
Support.
Oh, that's nice.
How do you spell your last name?
Mine?
Yes.
Bascom.
Okay.
And I do have some pictures if you'd like to see them.
Yes.
Please.
Well, they're on my phone. Well, I'll have to pull them up. And I did do it a little decorating. Jerry knows how I am because I'm like her mother. I'm talking about the outside of the house.
Keep going.
This is like if you like where the deck is, it's
sure.
Not attached to the house. So if you scroll that way,
all right.
Basically, we had a our hot water tank exploded and did a lot of damage
on the inside
to the property.
And his mother, before his mother passed, she had someone come in and take the mold out of there was mold on the inside of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had to have that taken care of before she could possibly move back in, you know?
Yep.
And she just passed this past year. And before she passed, though, she sold the trailer to him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't own the property. He owns just the trailer.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. So why is that? Why are we being taxed for property when we pay lot rent?
Okay. So there is a law in Title 11 that requires parks that are owned in limited equity cooperatives, which is what Breezy Acres is now. So that law requires us to value the common land and facilities and apply that value to all the mobile homes equally.
So then what, and then the park has to pay?
No, the park does not get a tax bill.
Huh.
The reason is
that when the park pays a tax bill, they get a non-residential tax rate. And that non-residential tax rate is higher than the residential tax rate. So the state legislature said we want to make sure that people in cooperative mobile home parks can take advantage of the residential tax rate for the property, for the land. So they passed this law that will requires municipalities to assess the land, common land, and facilities to the mobile homes instead of the mobile home park.
And is everybody paying equally?
Yes.
Well, those lots are not equal. Some lots are
right.
Barely any land at all.
I understand that, but the law does not require us to make adjustments for the difference in sites. And it's not about the site. It's about the common land and the facilities in the mobile home park itself. So the law specifically says common land and mobile home and park facilities. So what the mobile home owns and the value of the mobile home park is divided equally to all the mobile homes within the park. And the purpose of that is so that you can take advantage of the residential rate, which is lower than the non-residential rate. So if the park is paying the non-residential rate for the park, right, that's a higher tax that they're paying that they're passing to you in the lot rent. So by switching that value to you, you get a residential rate, you get a lower tax rate on the land, right, which means that everybody in the park ultimately pays less for their property.
But that's not the case because our lot rent is going up.
Well, the lot rents are supposed to be adjusted. So the park is going to get a zero tax bill. So that lot rent should go down what they're not paying in taxes.
That was the premise of the legislation in Montpelier.
What was the park's? It was like, what, 50?
How much was the park rent? Park tax?
I don't know how much it was. It was
50 some odd thousand.
I can tell you it was about 130,000 or something like that. And so going from, we can do the quick math.
And there's what, 200 people in the park? So.
Yeah, 189.
And the thing is if they're paying nothing, he got a notice that they're going to be, a lot of people then, they're going to be raising the lot rent.
So somebody needs to go back to the cooperative board and let them know that this isn't the way it was supposed to be. Further, there's an income sensitivity ability through your prebate for those who qualify to get money back through...
You see that condition?
Montpelier.
Yes.
So there's about a $15,000 savings to all the property owners in town spread across by doing it this way. So the park, so if the park's paying, they're going to pay $15,000 more in taxes, which gets transferred to you in the lot rents. But by doing it this way, that $15,000 goes away because now it's a residential rate.
They're having a lot of work done in that park.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting all electrical in and everything. And so what I think they're doing is I think they're passing all that electrical work and stuff that's being done onto the residents.
Yeah.
Which is not fair. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they're getting away with not paying anything. And all this money that's coming in, they're going to pay a little bit of it to the electrical. It was their decision to have all that electrical put in.
Not the co-ops.
Well, I'm not sure that it was everybody in the park.
Here's my question. I called the Vision. And I talked to them and I put a grievance in with them. And the gentleman told me that our property was listed as poor, right?
The condition, yeah, we have a condition as poor.
But on here it says average.
So there's two different things. There's quality and there's condition. Quality is the structure itself.
Right.
So it's an average quality mobile home. The condition is poor, and the condition is poor, I think, because of the hot water tank issue that took place, and
it's also not level.
Some notes on the on
there's
a black
slab
note.
Under it.
I understand. Yeah,
and it's sitting right on the ground.
Yep. So those are things that
our driveway is sinking, and because someone had a water leak up above us, and it must have run under the ground.
So we're looking at the condition of the mobile home, and so we're saying the condition of the mobile home is poor. Compared to other mobile homes of the same age.
Right, and mobile homes depreciate in value over time.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, fair market value hasn't totally indicated that because there's so little housing that some people are paying more for the mobile home now because they can get into housing than they would have 10 years ago, maybe. And that's unfortunate.
But that place is 36 years old, mm-hmm. and it's not in good condition. Believe me, it's not.
Yeah, and that's why we have the condition as poor.
Yeah.
And the what Charlotte is saying is that typically in a flat market, flat real estate market, the value of a mobile home is going to go down. But because of, since 2018, the amount of available housing for first-time buyers is not there. And so that drives the price up for first-time buyers, drives the price up for the single-family homes. That the next thing that goes up is the condominiums, and the next thing is the mobile home. So yeah. When you can go into a first-time home because the prices are too high, yeah. You go to the next thing, which is the mobile homes, and that drives those mobile home prices up. The other thing is the cost of construction of the mobile homes has gone up as well. So the new mobile home 10 years ago, you know, would $60,000-$75,000. Now you're talking over $165,000 for the new mobile home, plus the site cost of installing on a site, which is going to be $30,000. So a new mobile home is over $200,000 to buy it and install it. And whereas, you know, 10 years ago it was $75,000.
And you have to remove the old mobile home.
Yeah, and that's part of that $35,000. So these are costs that have gone up, which drives the cost of all the mobile homes.
What that got to do with me? I'm not selling. I'm not moving. This is where I live. This is my mm-hmm. home.
Yeah, well, then we go to the state.
Maybe if I, like, put it up for sale, then...
Yeah, then we go to the state law, which the state law requires us to value all properties to 100% market value on a reappraisal year. So if you could sell the mobile home for $58,000, we have to assess it at $58,000.
I definitely couldn't sell it for $58,000. Yeah. They'd have to put $58,000 in it just for it to be, like, acceptable.
Well, what I couldn't figure out is the old assessment was at 19.1. And then they came and they sent him a letter after they assessed it, right, the first time.
This one.
All right. They assessed it at 61.1. And then he gets this letter, and the assessment went from 61.1 to 106.3. That's a big jump.
Well, that's the cooperative, that's the portion of the cooperative value.
The added cooperative value.
Oh.
So the we have the mobile home right now as $56,600 is the fair market value for the mobile home. The cooperative value, the portion of the cooperative value, is $49,700. So, and that's applied to everybody. So everybody in the park has a cooperative value of $49,700 on their mobile homes. And that's because the state law requires us to do it that way now.
Yeah.
So after we had that water damage, I don't get how wages didn't double, you know. Prices have doubled.
And it's the prices that we go on, and that's the state law.
Yeah.
We have to assess it too.
Yeah. So. I'm saying prices for, like, everything have doubled.
Oh, no.
Unfortunately, at work, though, they don't double anything at work. You're lucky you can get a quarter raise.
Yeah, I work at Dollar General for $16.25 an hour. Yeah.
Thank you for working, period. Yeah. Mm-hmm.